How serious is the problem of the national debt? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Alan Axelrod, the author of a book called Full Faith and Credit, The National Debt, Taxes, Spending, and the Bankrupting of America. The website, by the way, for the book is fullfaithandcreditbook.com. Dr. Axelrod, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, we know that since President Obama has been in office, the national debt has actually doubled since what it was from the time of George Washington through George W. Bush. It's a serious problem, isn't it?
It is. It's something that is serious and yet almost completely ignored by our current presidential candidates. And by most of the voters and most of the legislature.
Okay, why is it such a serious problem?
Well, on a sort of daily basis, you can look at it this way, first of all. It's $19.5 trillion right now. It will be $20 trillion by the time the next president takes office.
Wow. This
breaks down, this $19.5 trillion, to a debt per citizen. When a newborn baby comes into the world today, that baby carries with him or her more than $60,000 in debt. If you break that down per actual taxpayer, it's more like $163,000 plus. But each baby carries into the world $60,000. Dollars plus of debt, and you know that that newborn baby didn't run up that debt on his or her own. And we don't feel this immediately, but in fact, the debt is so heavy and the debt service is so heavy, over $200 billion a year just to pay the interest on it, that the government cannot invest in things that are actually more things that are actually useful to us, cannot act to reduce taxes, for example, to stimulate the economy because it needs the revenue, and cannot manage the debt itself, can't pay it down fast enough, has to keep borrowing as it does every single year from the Social Security Trust Fund. Now, it puts the money back each year, but that money, when it is borrowed, earns no interest because the government borrowing from itself can't charge itself interest. So that money that is supposed to be growing to help finance Social Security payments is just dead money. It's just parked, as it were. So those are sort of the immediate day-to-day problems with a large debt. You can add to that the fact that the rising debt tends to crowd out investment in the private sector. It forces interest rates up, which are being kept artificially down by the Federal Reserve, but as you well know, the minute there's even talk of a minute raise in the prime interest rate, panic ensues. You can also understand that the spending on federal health care programs like Medicare and the drain on the Social Security balances are adding to this debt very, very quickly. And there is a great danger that the more that these things drain us and require the debt to be added to, the more spending on roads, on education, even on the armed forces will begin to be squeezed out. So that is another problem of the national debt. But there is yet a more sinister problem, and it is that about almost $6.3 trillion of that debt is held by foreign countries. And this, the largest debt holder being China, with Japan second. And this puts us in a very awkward position. I don't know if you've ever had to borrow a substantial amount of money from a bank, or if you run a small business and you have a particular creditor, that you depend on for a line of credit, but the one thing you don't want to do with that institution is get them ticked off at you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are in this situation with our foreign creditors. We, because of our debt, actually are constrained in our sovereignty. We cannot respond perhaps militarily to something China may do, for example, seize islands in international waters that don't belong to it, even make islands and then seize them. There's really very little we can do about it because we owe them too much, and the imbalance of trade is such that we rely on them too much. So,
did you say that we owe 6.3% to China and other countries?
Not percent. It's more than in terms of percent. There's a $19.5 trillion national debt.
Okay.
Most of it is held by investors in the United States.
Okay.
Anybody who buys a treasury bond,
mm-hmm.
and of course, financial institutions that buy more substantial chunks of the debt.
Right.
But almost $6.3 trillion of
So that's about a third then.
About a third
is held by foreign countries, including China.
China is the biggest, holding I think about $1.2 trillion or so.
Mm.
Over $1 trillion it holds.
Right. So this is not a good situation. Would we ever get to the point where the amount of interest is so high in paying back the debt that that's just a huge percentage of our budget or something as a country?
Right now it is 7% of our budget, which actually puts it just behind the current budget for fiscal 2016. The largest allocation in that budget is 33%. It's a $4.1 trillion spending budget, the largest portion of which is 33% to Social Security, unemployment, and labor. Just behind that at 27% is Medicare and health. Then comes the military at 16%. But the fourth greatest budget item is interest on the debt. That's 7% right now of our budget. In another 10 years or so, it will be the third largest item.
Wow.
And unless something is done, it will simply keep growing. It is a crippling amount of percentage of our budget.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Axelrod, let's do this. Let's suppose that the federal government, in this case, were like just a family of four, husband, wife, and two children, in terms of the spending versus the amount of money coming into the house. Give us an analogy here. I mean, it sounds like it's just way out of whack.
It is. And let's begin first with the limitation of that analogy, because a family can't do what a nation like the United States can and does do, which is depends on its reputation, which as a great country, a well-deserved reputation, a reputation that has been built up since the administration of George Washington, an honorable country, a country of laws, and a country that honors its debts, and it continues to trade on that reputation on a what still is a very powerful economy, an important trading partner for everybody in the world. It builds on that reputation to essentially enjoy the benefits and hazards of an unlimited line of credit, virtually speaking, an unlimited credit card.
Okay.
Until some large creditor decides to put a limit on it.
Mm.
And if you look at what China has been doing these last through 2015, it has, for the first time in since it started buying American debt, treasuries, it has stopped buying them.
Ooh.
It has reduced its holdings in treasuries.
Almost as if it's not a good investment or something.
Well, one wonders what the thinking is. Now, it hasn't. I don't want to misrepresent things and saying it's dumping, but it is unloading some of it, and it has greatly slowed any acquisition of it. The thing is, we the treasuries are offered at a very low yield. They don't pay a lot of interest, and most countries and most investors are satisfied with that because the reputation for solidity of the United States is such that it is considered an extremely safe investment because the full faith and credit of the United States mm-hmm. backs it up. We've already had Donald Trump suggest early in the campaign, I haven't heard him suggest it since, this was quite early, that one way to handle it would be to renegotiate our debt with our debt holders, have them accept pennies on the dollar, just the way you do in business. That would very likely create a global financial panic. If your bank asked you to accept pennies on what you've deposited with them, would be a run on that bank.
Yeah, run on the bank. Yeah. All right, let me ask you this. You said earlier that we're spending roughly $4 trillion in spending each year. That's versus how much in income, roughly?
It's not each and every year. It's
okay.
It's been going up. Let me see. I don't know if I have the.
I mean, roughly
right here, but roughly, it is.
$3 trillion in, $4 trillion out.
It is a little. It is more than $3 trillion that comes in, but it is considerably less than what goes out. So the
That's ridiculous. Can you, again, going back to the example of a family, you just can't live that way, and the United States just can't continue to live that way. Let me just say this for those who may have just joined us. We're talking right now with Dr. Alan Axelrod. He's the author of more than 140 nonfiction books. His most recent one, the one we're talking about, is called Full Faith and Credit. The subtitle is The National Debt, Taxes, Spending, and the Bankrupting of America. Abbeville Press, the website, fullfaithandcreditbook.com. And I should note that Michael Ramirez, who's a tremendous cartoonist with Creator Syndicate, has 20 cartoons in this book. And he's a 2-time Pulitzer Prize winning book. So congratulations on getting Michael Ramirez. He does great, great work. He really does. Well, we have about a minute or so left. What would you like to say in the remaining time?
Let me just so you have this information, because it is important. The deficit projected for fiscal 2017 is $600 billion. So the revenue is about $3.3 trillion, and although the budget was requested at $4.1 trillion, the actual budget is going to be about $3.9 trillion.
Hmm.
So and what is
but we're spending about, more than we're making is the bottom
and
line.
What is amazing about this is
by
that in the budgeting,
billions.
The deficit is it's not an accident. It's not something that we have as individuals often. Whoops! I've spent more than I've taken in. It is planned. It is in the budget every year since the days of Lyndon Johnson.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Again, more information at fullfaithandcreditbook.com. Dr. Alan Axelrod, all the best to you, and thank you, sir.
Great pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you now. Bye-bye.